Welcome to our podcast. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's lurking around each and every corner. Now here are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies. Welcome to episode 13. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean. Nate is our sound engineer, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean, what is going on, my brother?
Nothing too much, brother. How you doing?
I'm always good when we get to record, so doing well.
Oh, man, that's always signs of a good day and night, right?
Always. It's nice to have the week in between, but then when the week comes to record, yeah, I'm chomping at the bit. I'm glad it came.
So. It feels like on that Wednesday, like last Wednesday, I really enjoyed it. We dropped the episode, and we get to spend time with the family. But it does. It feels like there's that anticipation that, oh, we'll be doing this again soon.
Yeah. No, things are great. And, yeah, I just always love to be back in the Mako headquarters at Nate's house. And, you know, I know we always mention the weather. Weather's been awesome. Elijah had a soccer game tonight, and they won.
It's getting hot. It's getting, the humidity's going to be up. It's going to be in 90s by the weekend.
That's what we were talking about the game. Just not too long ago, we were freezing our butts off, and now everybody's sitting there with, you know, sunglasses on and shorts and T-shirts and complaining about the heat. So
good Indiana weather.
That's it. Indiana. One day you're freezing and the next day you're sweltering.
We had a softball game where I was wearing a coat and a hat and it was freezing cold. It was raining. Then the sun came out and it was 65 and hot. And then it went back under and it was at least three seasons in that, just that one softball game. It was ridiculous.
I believe it. No, but yeah, things are great. And, just getting closer to the end of the soccer season and, yeah, no complaints. Just work's going well, and I just can't believe we're past the halfway point in May.
Yeah,
we're getting ready for June and getting closer to vacation. So that's something that the kids and my wife and I are looking forward to. So can't beat that.
And so far, not that 2021 isn't kind of crazy and doesn't have its own irregularities. It is. We are surviving it, and it is nothing like it was in 2020. So that's a good thing. That's a blessing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Nate, what's going on with you, man?
Oh, just living life like usual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy it's a podcast today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's almost as good as Christmas, right?
Yeah. What are we opening today?
National Podcast Day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, but everything's going all right then?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, everything's going great.
Good. Still working at the jail?
Nope. Oh. I'm currently laid off for the moment.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, we ran out of work, so taking a temporary layoff. So should pick up in a week or two.
Yeah.
So he's for hire out there, people.
Yeah.
Well, I would imagine your line of work. Yeah. I mean, there's always, construction and whatever you want to call it, remodeling.
Well, and if I really wanted to, I'd go jump with another company, but I want to stay where I'm at.
I gotcha. So, okay.
So awesome. I told him I'd hang out.
Yeah.
So.
And just, and podcast.
Yeah. Podcast. This is my only profession right at the moment.
We're not paying you as much, so, unfortunately. But
yeah, those free checks.
Yeah,
he took my wife and his wife hiking earlier today, and I told Jenna, I said, "Please don't kill him." I said, "Whatever you do, we need him tonight.
We have to have Nate."
Yeah, and he's like, "Actually, I don't know. If anything, I was probably outdoing him." So,
don't take this too harshly, Sean. But see, I can do the episode, I can do the podcast without you, just like you could do it without me. But neither one of us can do it without Nate.
Nobody can do it without Nate. So don't hurt Nate.
Nate. I'm the keystone.
I warned Nate. I said, if she says, "Let's do a little bit more," that's like 5 or 6 miles. So don't fall for that. No. I said,
"Yeah, I brought that up.
She's a killer."
I said, "Sean's already warned me."
Where did you say, "Hey, let's keep going"?
We went to Turkey Run.
Oh, okay,
that's probably my favorite place here in Indiana. Hike.
It is cool.
Yeah,
I've never been there. Been through there. I had, in high school, we got a dog, our second dog, as a kid growing up there. That's where we got our dog from. But I've never actually hiked or really checked out the park. So.
Yeah, it's fun over there. A lot of rugged trails.
Really,
walking through creek beds and canyons and
there's ladders.
Ladders.
And steps. Oh, really? Yeah. So it's kind of okay. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe it was
treacherous.
Just a little,
if you don't want to get wet or muddy, do not go there.
Don't go there. Good. I don't like either one. So, I don't mind like getting dirty, but mud and wet. I hate wet socks and shoes, and that's not my gig. But I'll trust you guys. That sounds fun, though. It does sound fun.
I told Harrison the other day that I taught him how to tie a tie and the motions of going through, like how to shave and like how to really get your testosterone going. I had him listen to Frank Sinatra, and I said, you have to know how to get dirty and have fun and be a man, but you also have to know how to get cleaned up and be respectful and all that kind of stuff. So
that's right.
There's a juxtaposition there.
Good advice, Dad. Well, we guys, I'm really struggling.
We three guys.
We are happy you guys are joining us for episode 13, which is really weird to think about already.
Like, this is lucky number 13.
Number 13.
We talked about getting here, and here we are.
Doesn't scare me.
Ooh. Nate's like, bring it.
We should have like the...
We have to get some more sound effects.
Phantom of the Opera. I know, because mine don't cut it.
No, that's okay. Good try. I know. So we're glad you guys are joining us for episode 13. We have an announcement to make of our first giveaway. We did it for about a month, I guess, for the reviews that we received, and we did a free coffee mug giveaway. And the winner was JBird0807.
Whoop. Good job, JBird.
He is the winner of the free Mako coffee mug. And we want to thank everybody for, participating and giving us their reviews. And that was fun to do. We'll do another one soon.
So drink up, right?
That's right. And drink up. Yeah. So
you don't have to use it just for coffee.
No.
I mean, you can drink milk. You can drink water. You can eat cereal out of it.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do.
And multi-purpose. So I'm a sweet tea guy. Drink some hot tea.
Make a coffee mug cake.
Yeah.
There's all kind of the possibilities are endless, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So no, that was fun though. But yeah, we appreciate all the reviews and keep them coming though. We don't let that stop you. That we're not doing a current contest. So we always look for those reviews. But yeah, that was fun. So congratulations to JBird. And before we get into tonight's or this week's episode topic, I want to send out another shout out to a friend of ours that has a podcast. So it's kind of. I had to write this down because I didn't want to forget. So Micah, who was the host of the Great American Urban Legend podcast.
Hello, Micah.
Hi, Micah. Great guy. He changed it to the American Synthetic, but now has changed it to the Word and the Glass podcast. So the Word and the Glass, Micah's the host. He's a great guy. I correspond with him at least a few times a week. Give him a listen. He does a great job doing his podcast, and it's just a different format. He felt a calling. From what I understand, he's going to have two or three buddies on there with him. I don't know if it's going to be every time, but
it's pretty cool.
I think so. Yeah, and I think that's kind of neat that he's kind of changing it as he feels
the need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what's calling him and what's grabbing him at the time, you know,
makes it dynamic, right?
Yeah. So yeah, and he's on Instagram, and I think he was on Facebook, but I know he does mostly Instagram, and it's called The Word in the Glass, and congratulations to him and his wife. They had their baby boy.
That's awesome.
He was born a few days ago.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because he has two beautiful little girls, and now he has a boy. So. Whew.
Now they're outnumbered, right?
Right. So, yeah. So now they got
zone defense.
Zone defense. No more man-to-man, Micah. So, yeah. So congratulations.
Good luck. Sleep is golden.
That's right. Congratulations to him and his family. And, I think that's awesome.
That's awesome, Micah. It really is.
Yeah. So now with all that said, Nate or Sean.
Nate, John.
What is wrong with me?
Don't call on me. I don't know what to do.
Episodes of dementia tonight of all of us probably, right?
I promise the only thing I'm drinking is Dr. Pepper. There's nothing in here.
We need to check that cup over there.
Wow. I'm going to turn it over. Yeah, I better check this thing. The guy looked at me funny when he handed it to me. Wait a minute.
He spiked it, didn't he?
Yeah.
You're going to enjoy this.
Yeah, I thought, all right.
Have a good night.
So anyway, we'll turn it over to Sean, and he will tell you guys what we are going to talk about in episode 13.
We have an amazing treat for you guys, and it is the coolest thing that, I mean, it's beyond my wildest dreams what we have done tonight. We got to interview Aaron Egnetz, And she is a paranormal investigator, a ghost hunter, a history lover, paranormal writer. Her book is Hauntings Around America. And we just got done interviewing her. She was gracious enough to share about an hour, a little bit plus of her time, talking about some of her expertise, her stories. Mm-hmm. We got to ask her every question we wanted to. So it was just really, really fun. We had no idea what it was going to be like or what it was going to end up like. And it was just really amazing. We really appreciate her time.
It was fun. It was a great time.
His first go for it with us.
And yeah,
it worked out really well.
We are amateur interviewers, so we're gaining some experience from this, but we just loved it. We really enjoyed it. So we are bringing this to you, and we hope you enjoy this interview. And now here is Aaron.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 13, and we have a special treat for you guys. We have Erin Egnatz on the phone, and she happens to be a paranormal investigator and paranormal writer. Erin, how are you doing this evening?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'll let Nate and Sean say hello.
Hi, Erin.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, first of all, I want to thank you for taking the time out and letting us interview and chat with you and learn about you and your paranormal field. So we greatly appreciate that. And we said beforehand when we were kind of chatting before the episode, you're our guinea pig. This is our first interview that we've given, so we hope we do well.
I was thinking about Aaron the last time that I interviewed somebody. So not to scare you, I'm 42, and I was in fourth grade. So, and it was my grandmother who's no longer with us. So I was like, ooh, I really should have, I've got to sharpen my skills. So
fourth grade,
no pressure. Yeah. I'm not expert.
You'll be great. I know you're
expert level.
That's funny. Yeah. I don't think I've ever given an interview. At least Sean, you've got me beat right there.
It's new on my radar.
New on Nate's. Okay.
Well. Beginners and I'm a novice. How about that?
Awesome. Well, we're excited. We were excited all day. We're texting back and forth, and I even told Sean, I said, for the first time recording, I'm a little nervous, you know, a good nervous, excited, but like I said, I've never done an interview before, so.
Do you know why I'm nervous? I have to tell Aaron, there's a good reason I'm nervous, is because, and I told you this on social media earlier, a couple things. My wife was so, I mean, she's, not that she's not excited about our other programs and our podcast, but she said, you're going to have who on there? And I told her about you, and she's like, a paranormal expert. She's an investigator. She's like, that's really impressive. She's like, I'm going to listen to that one. So I told her, I was like, oh, crap. You know, so no pressure, but Jenna will be listening and she's excited to hear. And then my kids, especially my youngest ones, I told him, and he heard Ghost Hunter and he was like, you're going to have a real ghost. So all he can think is Ghostbusters and Scooby-Doo. My oldest said, can I be on there? And I'm like, listen, just because you've seen hundreds of episodes of Scooby-Doo and watched all the Ghostbusters doesn't mean you're qualified to talk to Aaron. That's
funny. I don't know if we're qualified. Really.
We may not be either.
We're doing it, so you know, we'll give it a shot anyway, right? So Aaron, in my note, so I forgot to mention your Hauntings Around America, and I know, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and just real quick before we get further, I found you just on Instagram. You know how they can make suggestions to follow. And I mean, I get them, you know, every day there's, mm-hmm. you know, follow this person, or you might know this person. That's how I came across your Instagram page. And it said paranormal investigator or whatever. And then I was like, oh my gosh, she's from Indiana. So that's how I came across your profile. So
yeah, that's exciting. And you know, I don't get to talk to many people from Indiana, so this is really cool.
Yeah, no doubt. I thought, wow, okay, cool. She's and you're up north. So,
yeah, we're, you know, they consider us Chicago here.
So it is considered the region, right?
Just ignores us. Yeah,
that's the region, right? Yep.
That's funny. Well, very cool. Yep. Well, so why don't you give the listeners, you know, maybe tell them a little bit about yourself, like where you grew up and, you know, how you got into the paranormal field.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm originally from Georgia, but I moved up to Indiana, when I was still in school, and I lived in Crown Point, which is like Northwest Indiana's most haunted area. So, it came to me early on. I started to get into the paranormal, honestly, growing up in Georgia, because I lived right next door to a cemetery.
Those are my
neighbors. Yeah. So I don't know, I guess I was destined for it or whatever. And like you brought up the Ghostbusters, you know, that I had all the proton pack and I had the shirts, you name it. I wanted to be a Ghostbuster. As I got older, I took a trip to Gettysburg with my family, and that was like my first paranormal experience. It's a hotbed for ghosts. I'm trying to think, I was probably 13, and I don't know, there were some ghostly soldiers there that I saw and nobody else in my family saw, and they all thought it was crazy, so but by the time we got back, I was hooked, and I started reading what I could. You know, that was kind of before you could really get on Google, but that pretty much started it, and it snowballed from there.
Nice. So, yeah, so you were young, 13, and yeah, like the very first, you know, episode we recorded, it was kind of an introduction just to let people know who we are and how we got into this paranormal stuff and, you know, how we became, you know, creepy, spooky type fans of those movies and all that stuff. And, I was, you know, younger than 13, but I've never, but like you said, you went to Gettysburg, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I never did anything like that. I just got into watching movies, and my dad growing up in the, you know, 40s and 50s from the old school type horror movies, and I watched it with him.
Yeah.
But man, I can't imagine, going to like especially Gettysburg being one of the hottest paranormal.
Well, and actually having an experience too.
Right.
Yeah. No doubt.
That's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
So you said you were the only one that had experiences, and you said your family thought you were crazy. Are they mm-hmm. the type where they're like, just don't believe it at all, or they just didn't experience it and they just thought you were, you know, misled or mistaken?
My dad to this day does not believe in any kind of ghost. It could come up and smack him in the face and he would not believe it.
He's just,
it's not going to happen. My mom, yes, she believes in it. She just said she didn't see it. I thought it was a reenactor, to be honest, but my dad, he's the kind of guidebook guy, you know, wherever we are, he has to have a guidebook with times and stuff. There's no reenactors. It's not happening. There are none. He was very adamant. And so, and it was pretty obvious it was a ghost because it disappeared. So.
Wow.
My family split as far as that goes. My dad's very old school. My mom is very interested, but terrified.
Have you talked to anybody else that's had experiences? Like, have you ever, I mean, I know there's countless people that have had experiences, especially at Gettysburg, but do you ever get together mm-hmm. with other people and talk about, so you don't feel, you know, so alone in that experience?
Well, it took a while for that one. Now I do all the time. People love to send me, you know, hey, what do you think about this? And I love to read them. But back then, you know, I kind of alone, honestly, it took till I got to high school, and my history teacher was a ghost hunter, and he tied in history with his ghost hunting, and he would actually have field trips that we could take on Saturdays if we wanted, and it was haunted locations around the Chicago area, a lot of, like, Capone and stuff, and then I started to meet people through that, and then I started to realize, okay, so I'm not the only one. So.
That is a cool teacher.
Yeah.
Yes. I wish I could go back and thank him, but he would probably be like, who are you?
Right. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm jealous.
I saw on Instagram that you're a history lover. I love history too. And I think that's it. Is that what kind of got you into it? Or was your family into history or?
I think it was just me
just
really
you.
That loves history. Because I think with ghost hunting, you really have to be a history lover to at least understand, because most of these spirits are pretty old.
Right.
So it helps, and especially the writing aspect of it, because usually when I spotlight a location, I start with, you know, the history of the place, and then why is it haunted, and what is it like today? So, you know, it really helps to like the history.
Yeah, because you can't really have a ghost story without something historical happening.
Right.
I mean, there has to be something behind the story
exactly.
of the ghost.
Mm-hmm. We kind of talked mm-hmm. about it. What kind of makes that perfect recipe of a place that's haunted? We talked mm-hmm. about that history being one of the main things, and then kind of the geography.
Yeah, the location.
You know, characters. Rock can hold energy, water can hold energy, and be conductors. But do you, like, from you're an expert in this? What is it that you find? Are those is that the magic recipe? Like, did things get stuck? Like, the energies get stuck? What is it that you think is going on there?
I think it really depends. Like, you know what residual hauntings are? They're supposed to be almost like impressions in time.
Yeah.
I see those a lot near limestone and, you know, natural resources. It seems like somehow they absorb it. The more active, intelligent hauntings, they tend to be where things were traumatic. Battlefields. Next week I'll be at Waverly Hills, and that's a really tragic place. Up to 60,000 people died in the building, so that you get a lot more of the more interactive spirits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to go to Waverly.
I'm pretty excited about that one.
Yeah.
So what is that, like, because of such a large loss of energy of, you know, life or whatever it may have been, does that, in your opinion, like, open like a vortex or a portal for these hauntings to start?
I think it really depends. In some cases, I think so. You know, a lot of these spirits, they're like they were in life. So if they were good people, they're probably not a malicious spirit. But some of these, like the jails, the Crown Point jail, for instance, there's some really bad people that were there. Capone's hitman, for one. And, you know, I think that I've heard of there being portals where there's more evil spirits. And I believe that because just from my experience and a lot of investigations, in jails and insane asylums, they have some pretty rough spirits, and I could see where that would definitely be some kind of evil portal, and I'm not even exaggerating.
Yeah.
They can be rough.
Wow.
And that makes sense. I mean, you're a jerk in real life, or, you know, then you're probably
stuck as a jerk.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, that's your kindred spirit.
Kind of just spills over, into the afterlife.
I loved it. I mean, think about those things, and I'll admit I don't completely understand them. I don't know that anybody completely understands it, but it's a mesh of history and science. Those are two of my favorite, you know, things to think about. And it is, it's like interdimensional or dimensional. And I think they're finding out that more and more that, and the veil is very thin between this world and the next and the next and the next, you know, potentially. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, you know. And then when I have experiences, but mine are more like in the dream state or lucid or out of body experiences. And so it's not necessarily in this dimension. So I find it fascinating to, you know, meet somebody like you or hear somebody like you talking about, you know, experiences here in 3D.
Right in front of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And you make a great point about, you know, the lucid or astral projection or whatever it is. It's really cool because, you know, a lot of people can do that and, you know, they claim it's a different dimension. I totally believe it.
Right.
I've seen so much that it's kind of hard not to believe it at this point.
Right.
Well, there's so much we don't know. I mean, it's to say, it doesn't happen or it can't happen. I mean, you know, and to tell somebody that what they experienced, no, there's no way. Well, I mean, that's their experience. And to try to tell somebody, no, that didn't work or that can't happen. No, how do you know?
Yeah.
You know, and.
Yes.
So, and I think they're finding out more and more that it's not just five senses. It's not just six or seven. It's, you know, a plethora of them, at least maybe a dozen that we know of or we can conceptualize. And then who knows how many beyond that.
Yeah. I want to ask you, so where was your first investigation at, or, you know, what type of investigation was it, I guess?
The first one, it's been a long time. The first one was actually at an insane asylum in Valparaiso, Indiana. I was very much a novice at this point. I was, 18 or 19. And it was a pretty intense place. There was it was almost like a solitary confinement, which was really cruel. It was underneath this building. It was dirt floors. It wasn't a basement. It was more like a crawl space, but they shoved these people that had mental illnesses in them, and it was dark, and It almost made me stop ghost hunting before I started, to be honest. It was a really rough place.
That's creepy.
It mysteriously burnt down a couple years later, and I didn't see why.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty intense.
Wow. Well, those places are just, they're full of sadness and just, ugly conditions, when they were up and running. And oof. Well, that's a good, that's a heck of a good start for your investigative career in insane asylum.
Yes.
That's jumping right in.
How often do you do an investigation? And how, this is a couple questions, but how many have you done or do you know? And how, how often do you do them?
I've done well over 100.
Oh, wow.
I've been all over the U.S. I love it when I have free time. That is. This summer, I have quite a few coming up. I know it's over 100, but I've been doing it for, how old am I now? About 15 years. So. Oh, wow. Pretty consistently. Usually the summers are a lot easier because, with winter, it's not really fun to investigate. Most of those places do not have heat. So.
Right. Frigid.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you plan pretty well in advance, or does it every once in a while you just like, hey, I'm going to go here, in a couple days, and you just make it happen?
I like to do those.
Both.
Just because I just like to go. I'm one of those people that always has to go.
You have an adventure spirit. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. but most of the big ones, like Waverly, and then I have one in Philadelphia coming up, they have to be booked way in advance just because they're so popular.
Right.
But the little ones, I can just pop in and someday I'll wake up and think, I want to go. Friends and spirits, so I'll just head out.
That's awesome. Do you do all of them by yourself, or do you have a team, or how do you do that? It's just pick up and go alone, or?
Yeah, for the most part, I go by myself. If it's a place that I can't do, because of it might be in a rough area or, it may be too big, I will drag my husband or my mom with me.
That was one of my questions is, does your husband, or you have three children, is that right?
Yes, three.
Do your children have any interest, or do they ever come along, or?
My oldest loves it.
Yeah.
He gets into it. The other two could care less. Yeah.
Well, you're more brave than I am, because I would definitely have to go with others. I couldn't do that on my own. There's no way.
Yeah, there's certain places that I regretted going alone. yeah, but for the most part, just because I like the results that you get usually when you're by yourself, you tend to get more. That's not always the case, though. This summer I'm going to be at the Lizzie Gordon house, and right now I'm supposed to be there by myself, but I might have to drag some people along for that one, because I've heard it's pretty rough.
You got Todd salivating over here. Every time you say that, he's like, man, I want to do that. I want to do that too.
Aaron, I am so jealous.
He looks jealous. You should see him.
Now, I will admit, though, because I think I've said on the show, hey, where are we going? Let's go.
He's all in.
Let's sleep, sleep at night, whatever, but... You're taking it to another level going by yourself.
You are,
so
yeah.
I will admit, I don't know if I could do that. I mean, maybe a few places here and there, but yeah, like Waverly and the Lizzie Borden house. And I think I might have to have at least a partner.
We've talked about some field trips, but we need to have I know you probably have a lot more scientific approach. Do you do just a question, EVPs, do you have any equipment that, measures anything?
So to go along with, Sean's question, I was going to ask the same thing. Yeah. What type of equipment do you have what type of investigations do you use? What kind of equipment do you use for the particular investigations, if that makes sense?
It really does depend on the investigation. If it's a battlefield, I'll just have an EMF reader with me.
EMF, okay.
That is a simple, basic tool that is really helpful. The K2, which is an EMF, just with a fancy name. The EVP, I have one that goes on my wrist. So mm-hmm. I just start it and then go. And then I always have my iPhone with me. It does better than any high-tech camera I've ever paid for.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, if it's a more like the Lizzie Borden house or something along those lines, you know, I have motion-activated cameras that I'll set up throughout. I'll have, you know, the full video camera. I have a bear that is an EMF bear that'll light up. I have a ball that I use for children's spirits to get them to interact.
That's spooky.
That is.
You name it, and I have it.
That's cool.
A spirit box.
Oh, that was one of my questions. I wondered if you had a spirit box. I've never seen one up close. I've only seen people doing them on videos. But so, have you used it?
Yeah, they're really good. I used it for the first time on the USS Lexington in Texas.
Okay.
And got really good results. The only thing about a spirit box is you got to make sure you're not picking up the radio stations and think, oh wow, they just said that. Sometimes that can be a little hard, but
how do you know? Like, how can you tell? Okay, you can tell.
Yeah, their voices are quite a bit different than, you know, the radio station where they're all upbeat, okay. And then you get a spirit that, I mean, for lack of a better word, they sound dead.
Aaron, we have Sam, our podcast dog, saying hi to you.
Yeah,
he says, "Oof."
He's kind of ticked off that I was not.
He's like
petting him.
Todd,
you know,
what are you
I'll
doing?
Him for 20 you belong to me. I moved my hand away, and then he's. You know, but it's just like my dogs at home; they do the same thing.
We always have to have a podcast dog, and he's it.
That and all that equipment just fascinates me.
I don't
think I've seen any of that stuff. You know, in person, I'm just, watching the shows or videos, and it's just amazing.
Yeah.
I want to know if you have a proton pack, though. That's what, like, well, how do you protect
pack,
yourself?
You know? Right. They can take it home with you.
Exactly, right.
Well, and you just mentioned something that it's a real serious question. How
do you protect yourself?
Because I've listened to other investigators and people that, or maybe they're not investigating, but they're going on tours, and they all have different, when you say rituals or ways to, for protection, either, you know, to, before they enter some type of haunted place or whatever it is. And then they always maybe do something afterwards so they don't take that, you know, take it home. And that mm-hmm. kind of leads into my second question. Sorry for the long question, but have you ever had or felt something kind of tag along as you've ended your particular investigation?
I have had spirit. Yes. That was my mistake. But yes, I have, and I actually, it wasn't from a haunted location. It's from antiques that I bought. I'm a huge antique collector. Mm-hmm. I have hundreds of antiques, and and a lot of the stuff I collect is military. And Civil War especially. So I have a bayonet. When I got the bayonet, the first night, my husband's like, why were you going up and down the stairs? It's like, I was not. That wasn't me.
Right.
And then the next night, the door slammed open and slammed closed. And, the spirit attached to the bayonet was really angry.
<That's>
But he chilled out now. I don't know if he's still there or not.
They eventually calmed down.
As for protecting myself, you know, everybody's different. Some people believe, you know, crystals, and they'll carry crystals with them. Certain kinds are said to do certain things. I don't really know too much about the crystals. I am religious. I believe in God. So I'll do a prayer before I go in and a prayer afterwards. But everybody's different. Usually if I run into something that is really malicious, which has only happened twice, you're supposed to picture that like white light, God's grace or whatever, and I don't know if it calms your nerves or what, but it does help. So, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that would be the luck I would have is
get the bad one.
I get the one that's like wants to come home with me. Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
You know,
it's an ex WWF wrestler that
throw me up against the wall, body slam me. Yeah, right. I'd get the meanest demon. I guess they're all mean.
Have you ever noticed that if you are doing something like that and there is a malicious spirit, has it ever calmed the spirit? Like, does that or?
Well, I've only dealt with one malicious that was so bad that I had to leave.
Oh, okay.
It was really, really bad. I actually had my mom with me. It's a pretty scary story. When I retell this, usually people get kind of creeped out. We were at the jail, the one that Dillinger escaped from, Crown Point.
Okay, right.
We sat down in the only part that has been redone, because they redid it for the movie Public Enemies with Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, Universal came in and made it all nice, and the rest of the jail is not nice. It's not, you know, it's not upkept because it's an old jail. So, we were sitting there taking a break. It was just me and my mom, and I was like, oh my gosh, look at that bat. Cause I thought it was a bat. They had warned us ahead of time that there was bats. And, she's like, that's not a bat. It's the size of a basketball. And I'm like, well, what else would it be? And then it showed up on the other side and it started circling us and it started going fast and it got bigger each time. I was like, okay, we need to go. You need to pick up all your stuff and we need to go down the stairs. And she's like, okay, I don't understand why, but let's go. We walk down the stairs and I get to the bottom floor and I look back and she's halfway up the stairs. I was like, what are you doing?
Oh my
and
gosh.
She's like, I think we need to go back up. Her whole voice changed.
Oh, wow.
She's like, I need to go back up there. We need to go back up there. I was like, get down here. I'm not going after you. You go up there. You're staying up there. And she was like, she wasn't hearing me. And I went and grabbed her arm. I was like, come on, we are leaving. And, we walked out, the door slammed and it's like the fog lifted and she was fine again.
Oh, wow. She was like in a ghost trance or a spirit trance, right?
Yeah, it was.
That's wild.
That was the creepiest. It was obviously malicious or demonic. I don't know, but it had its hold on her, and she doesn't remember that. I tried to remind her, and I actually have a video of it. And she's like, I don't remember that at all.
Wow,
she doesn't remember it. Okay, wow, that's intense.
Yeah. Huh.
That makes me think, one question I have is, I know you said you're religious and believe in God, but does it, doing this stuff, is that what's helped you to like realize that there's more out there than we realize? Is it helped to increase your faith, or does it helped, or is it kind of made you question more? How does that work?
No, it definitely makes it makes me believe in God, or afterlife or whatever, because, you know, there's something going on.
Right.
And, it's still in me, you know, something's happening. I don't know what, but definitely something comes after.
No, I agree. I mean, I'm a believer in Christ and God, and everybody can believe what they want, but mm-hmm. I think I was told when I started working at the Christian church that I work at during the day, it's my full-time job. One of the ladies that I worked with, she was part-time and she had been with the church for years. And she said, you know, one of the first things she was telling me, she said, it's like, it takes more faith not to believe than to believe, you know, because mm-hmm. it seems like you have to come up with more stuff to deny the afterlife or deny there's a creator or whatever. And I thought, I'd never heard that before. I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, especially Aaron, with the stuff that you've experienced too, that could see, right. I would feel the same way. That would make, you know, that would make me more of a believer too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. And she made a really good point and I 100% agree. Because, you know, there's so many instances and to debunk them all, it's really hard to do. So, you're always left with questions, so something has to be going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you have, this is kind of a silly question, but not really, like, is there a certain degree that you get or any kind of I know, like, Harvard has paranormal investigation. That's something that they actually, like, it's a thing. I believe so.
Yeah, they do.
I could be making that up. We might want to Google that. But it is, like, it's a science, there's a scientific backing that they want to try to figure that out and understand that more. I'm just wondering if there's any kind of, you know, anything that you've gone through or, you know.
I wish that was an option when I was in college, because I definitely would have majored in it. That would have been really cool. But no, I'm a nurse, so.
Yeah. Oh, you're a nurse. Is that right?
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Nate and I's wives, both Jenna and Rachel, are nurses. So
mine's in education.
Yeah.
So
wow. Okay. So yeah. No, I haven't worked in a while, just because, you know, we have the kids and my husband works at a mill, so his hours are constant. So I'm at home with them, but
But you're in the healing field, and this is still like what you're doing too, in my opinion. What I feel like is that you're trying to understand what's going on there, but there's also a healing aspect being a nurse, and I'm an occupational therapist, so I understand the healing, you know, wanting to help people. But now, you know, you're helping people in a different way, you know, whether it be the living or the people that are here that are trying to understand too.
Right, exactly. Yes, and that's another thing. You know, I'm very respectful towards the spirits, and you know, if I could help, I would love to.
Right.
I really need to start bringing a medium with me.
That was my next question: have you ever done that before?
Yes. Yeah. I work with them every so often. I have a couple that I work with, and they're awesome. And they, two in particular that I can think of, are really, really good. I will call them. I won't tell them where I'm going, where I'm at, and I'll say, you know, so what do you have for me? And they'll lay it all out, and they'll be 99% right about everything.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. One of them actually draws pictures of spirits. And when I first talked to him, he lives in the UK. When I first talked to him, I was like, okay, so do you want to draw some of my family? And he drew them perfectly. And there's no way he could have seen a picture of them because there wasn't a picture of them. These are like three generations back family.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Gosh.
So I have the only picture of them, and it's from 1862 or whatever. So,
right.
Yeah. And he was spot on, so he's really good. And they're really fun to work with, you know, because they can give you more in-depth feelings on your spirits that you're dealing with, you know, unless the spirits angry, then they're not going to want to deal with them.
Well, you would have to, with working with a, you know, a psychic or whatever, you'd have to have a really good relationship and, you know, to trust each other. I would imagine.
Yeah, because we've talked about that before, is that there's charlatans out there. There are people that are out there for their own interests and trying to, you know, fool people. But I really believe there are people that have God-given talents. And I really think we all have abilities. We just, you know, whether it sounds comic booky, but, you know, like mutant abilities, we just either are suppressed or have not been unlocked or those kind of things. Yeah. But I do believe in that very much so.
I do too. Yeah, you're right. There's definitely some on there that are ready to scam you. And I really put them through the ringer if I'm going to work with them. And
yeah, I bet you do.
By the time they're done, but I want to, you know, make sure I don't have some.
That was one of the things. Like, is there a skeptical part of you? Do you ever go? Do you go into it thinking this is like trying to prove that something's going on, or do you go in a little bit half and half? Like, I want to believe, but I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah, more half and half. I go in not expecting anything.
Right.
And then if I get something, that's awesome. Because, you know, there's been a bunch of places that I've been to where people are like, yes, it's haunted. Wait till you go there. You're going to be blown away. And then I go there. There's nothing happening. What are you talking about?
So you've debunked. That was one of my questions, is whether you've debunked anything, you know, like been able to show like this is not, there's something mechanical going on here or something that, a noise that's causing this, the interference or some frequency.
Yeah, that happens a lot. And I can understand where people, you know, where they get it from too, because usually it's private residences where they'll have me come out. And it'll be an old Victorian house, which in itself usually has a lot of creeps to it. And I can see where they would think that, but, sometimes it's maybe like an attic door that was blowing and it sounded like footsteps, or, you know, there can even be really high EMF from electrical cords or internet cords or whatever. And that can give people headaches and make them think things too. So.
Right. Sure.
So yeah, there is some debunking that goes on. You know, I learned that from the ghost hunters years ago. Try and debunk everything, and if you're left with evidence, then there you go.
Right.
That makes sense. So do you, are you ever contacted by a family or something that has something going on in their house, or a business owner that is kind of getting creeped out by some things they can't explain? So do they ever contact you? Like, would you do that actually to, you know, I know you do it for fun and recreation and curiosity, but do you do investigations to help find out what's going on in somebody's house, or, you know.
Yes, I've done that a lot more recently, just because, you know, I didn't know where to go with it to begin with. But now that people are starting to know who I am, from the investigation side, you know, they'll contact me, and, you know, I'm more than welcome to go out there, and I'm never charged. I know that some people will say they'll charge, which is crazy. But I've had, one of them was really cool. It was in Southwest Michigan. It was a former funeral home, but now the people lived in it because it was a big, beautiful Victorian. There was a lot going on there. It was a wild night. There was spirits everywhere.
Yeah, this place is definitely haunted.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, ding, ding, ding. You guys can go.
All the boxes get checked, right?
Yeah.
What is your, do you have a favorite type of destination that you enjoy more than others?
I'm not a huge fan of jails and insane asylums. I'll go to them, of course, because they usually have the best evidence, but they're not my favorite. So basically anything that's not those are my favorite. I loved investigating on the Lexington because, you know, we don't get the battlefields over here. That's a good thing, from World War II. So that's really your only battlefield, your only history that you can explore in America of World War II. So it's cool to step back and check out places like that that are so unique. Lighthouses are really fun. Battlefields are always my favorite because there's always something going on in battlefields. The more history to it, the more I'm interested in it.
Nice. Yeah, I think, listening to podcasts and, you know, watching YouTube videos, and then just even us doing our few episodes that went since we started, you know, I'm thinking, what would be a place that I'd love to go to? And I would love to see, like, castles. I think that would just, you know, you're going overseas, you know, and I think so you get the history there and the real things that happen. But when you said you're not really a big fan of jails and insane asylums, those are the two places I want to go.
That's
so bad.
Really?
He said, I'm like, I get it. I totally get what you're saying. But I'm like, yes, I want to go to a, you know, big haunted prison and just like,
try one.
Like Alcatraz. Well, we're going, yeah. I could go change my mind after that. I could be like, okay, that was good. And let's move on to it. But yeah, I think, I don't care where it was, you know. I'm not a big cemetery guy or graveyard, but insane asylums, jails, you know. Do you have, like, what places have you been to multiple times because you have had such great results, or it's just a hotbed for activity?
I've been to the jail that I was, the one in Crown Point, several times just because, you know, I grew up here. I don't really like that one, just because it's really creepy. And that's saying something coming from a ghost hunter.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I'm ready to go right now. It's creepy. Yeah. That's what I like to
You're
hear.
You're talking them into it in a weird way, right?
Yeah.
Start the truck.
You know, there's another jail, and it's closer to you guys, and I did it back in March. It's in Fowler, Indiana.
Oh, in Fowler, yeah. I know Fowler.
Mm-hmm.
That one's awesome. That's the best jail.
Is it?
You don't get the malicious spirits. And my haunted Fowler, I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He's so cool, and he's really laid back, and he'll show you where the spirits are. And I had a lot of interaction there. And I could have spent the whole night there, but we had to switch over to the theater too.
Oh, wow.
But if you wanted to check out a cool haunted jail, that one's really fun.
Oh. I wrote that down, by the way.
It's really cool. And Fowler is, I don't know. I don't know where it's at. It's near Lafayette.
Okay. That's not that far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
An hour or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It's not too bad.
Now, have you ever heard of the Whispers Estate?
I have, yes.
Down in
I've
Mitchell.
Never been, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, that ended up on one of our previous podcasts. And that one's pretty high on the list as far as a breadwinner of activity.
That one creeped us all out, I think.
Yeah.
We've not been.
Fun. I would love to go do that one. That one would be fun.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what what would be your top locations or places to go to, or even if it's just like a state, you know, like, cause my wife and I and a kids in about a month, we're going to Tybee Island, Georgia, and we're going to try to visit Savannah because, you know, I heard it's a fun place and all the history that it's has.
Since, it's super,
you know,
haunted, right?
Yeah. And the creepy stuff. So I told my wife, I really want to go on a ghost tour, you know, and then my kids are like, they're already freaking out. And I'm like, what's wrong? And they said, they think it's like a haunted house. Like we would go to an attraction, you know, they're right. Still that age where they're like, they don't want people jumping out. I said, no, it's not that. It's, we're going to learn history and, you know, and they'll tell us maybe some spooky stuff, but nobody's going to jump out and grab you or scare you. But I didn't know if like, yeah, you're like, oh yeah. The town of this or the city of this or a particular place, you know, what, like what's on your bucket list. You know, I know you say you're going to, I'm drawing a blank, the one in Louisville, Waverly,
yeah.
which I would love to go mm-hmm. to. I want to go to that so bad. But what other places are you planning on going to that you just have to go to?
Yeah, Waverly has been the top. Let's see. I am going to Fort Mifflin, which is in Philadelphia. My favorite state for hauntings is Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has tons, and they're really fun places to investigate. I love Harper's Ferry too. Harper's Ferry, West Virginia is really, it's a fun old town. It's preserved. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's mm-hmm. like walking back in time. And there's a lot of haunted places there. Yeah, Georgia's great. I'm from Georgia, so I know Georgia like the back of my hand.
Sure.
And, yes, Savannah's really fun and you'll have a great time there. I can't wait to get down there. I haven't been down there since I became, you know, professional with it, but I need to get back down there and check out Savannah again. It's crawling with spirits. It's awesome.
Nice. Aaron, I know you know this, but our listeners don't know this, but you have the book out that's Hauntings Around America. And first of all, the cover of it is awesome. I don't know how you got that picture or who did that for you, but that
we're looking at it right now.
It's really neat. And I started, I'm to Hawaii right now. I got it last Thursday. And thank you for that, by the way. I'm old fashioned. I like the books that you can still feel and hold, you know. I've done audiobooks and ebooks and all that, but I'm pleased that you gave me the actual book. But it is interesting, like, because a lot of what you write about, you've been to some of them, and then some of them you've just investigated or you've looked at and studied, right?
Right. Yes. Usually I'll contact the place that, or the owner of the place, if I can, and I'll get firsthand experience or, you know, just so I understand more and make sure I'm not writing about something that is in fact not haunted.
Right. I love the book. I think it's great, honestly, and I'm enjoying it. And I want to encourage people to go out and get it, and either ebook. And I know you said you have some physical copies too. But Hauntings Around America is definitely a good read.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. I saw some. One of you talking about Georgia. One of them I saw in there was The Headless Horseman. And I know you hear about Sleepy Hollow and you know, Ichabod Crane and the Headless Horseman and all that, but I didn't know there was a Headless Horseman in Georgia.
Oh, on the battlefield?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, I thought that was, number one, it was really creepy, but then in the kid in me, because like I said, I was always scared to death of Sleepy Hollow and that whole story. And even the Disney, the cartoon was always, you know, scary to me, but I thought that was really cool.
Nice.
Yes, that one is really cool. I watched a documentary about the whole thing, and mm-hmm. it's pretty creepy, but at the same time, I have to see this. I have to go there and see this
right.
spirit. So I can't wait to see that one. Probably won't happen, but, you know.
Now, I did look up online, and you can take courses in paranormal studies and parapsychology.
See?
Wow.
So I knew I wasn't making
it's
that
a thing
up.
No,
yeah,
that's a thing.
And it should be. We need to be asking these questions. Yeah. Really?
Well, I agree. I mean, they research all kinds of things. Why can't they research that? So
exactly.
That's awesome. Yeah. I wish that was a major when I was in college. That would have been, yes, I would have been there.
Like I said, I love science, but it gets a little pompous and a little like, well, we know that, well, you don't know everything. And, no. and we don't, can't not explain this. And it's not just foo-foo, you know, made up stuff. It just is not.
So right. Yeah.
I'm here to advocate with you.
Yep. Yeah. We're on your side, Aaron. We're
exactly.
My wife just completed her master's degree and was able to walk across the stage at Ball State University this past weekend. And then I literally, it's funny, we're talking about this. I thought, you know, I mean, I have a full-time job during the day that I love, and I have a commercial cleaning business nights and weekends that I love, you know, but I thought, gosh, you know, it'd be, I'm 50, she's only 42, so she's a youngin', but I thought there's no way I could go to school, you know, being a dad and a husband and working all the, you know, all the jobs. I thought, it's funny, when they brought it up, I go, man, that'd be great to be a, I could study parapsychology online.
Yeah,
I could
right?
do, yeah. Seriously.
No,
you know?
Yeah.
I think
yes.
that'd be so fun. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome that
it's
she
never too
graduated
late.
Ball State. Congratulations to her.
Thanks,
I decided I'm going back to college, but.
Nice. Oh, very cool.
But I don't really, I'm not motivated, so it may not go very far.
No, I hear you. I can't even imagine at my age going back to school. I'm like, oh, forget that. Because I didn't go to college when I graduated high school. I just started working, you know. But I think I could do this. I don't know.
We could start our own university, Podcast University.
That's Podcast University. Oh, gosh, I don't know about that.
That's awesome.
No, I think that is so cool that what you do and that you, you know, yeah, you're a wife and a mom and you said you're a nurse, you know, right. and but you fit in these fun ventures of investigating haunted places or whatever. I think that's so awesome that you make time to do that, you know, and just very, yeah, it's very cool that you do that and do what you love.
Aaron, I have to say my wife is, you know, we have four kids. We have all, there's like six sports between them. We both, my wife and I both work. We have busy lives. I do this. And she has gone back to school, and I guarantee you, with all the stuff that you do, she would, her hats would be off to you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
She'd be like, yeah, you know what I mean.
No, if I'm not busy, then I'm just gonna sit there and watch TV. So
well, my Jenna
I
said,
need to stay busy.
Jenna says that all the time. She's like, what else would we be doing? You know, and she's right. Yeah. She's absolutely right. But
exactly, yeah, and. I can sit there. I can probably break Guinness Book of World Records.
Right, for rest, right?
TV,
yeah,
so.
No, I hear you. Give me the opportunity.
Yeah.
Put me out, coach. Put me out.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple things I wanted to ask you. I know we want to be very, you know, we want to respect your time, so we don't want to keep you forever and ever, although we could talk for hours and hours to you, Aaron. But a couple things I wanted to make sure and ask you, because we've asked a lot of the other stuff, is do you have a favorite historical era? I know that you focus a lot on America, and maybe it sounds like you might, who knows, branch out to other countries and things like that, but do you have a favorite time in history or era?
Good question.
Yes, that's a great question. I do. I'm very, very partial to anything Victorian, especially like 1860s to the 1880s. Ooh. And American Victorian. Not that I don't appreciate, you know, other areas, it's
right.
Just, you know, I can relate more to this area because this is our history.
It's not that many people ago, right?
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, that's my time period, and I swear I must have lived another life then because I'm so in love with it.
Well, I agree. I like that time period too.
Yeah. Well, and that, like how you like antiques, me and my wife, we love antiques too. Mm-hmm. As we're sitting in this room, I have a antique piano, antique dresser, two of them. I mean, the antique table. Yeah, there's antiques everywhere in our house.
you sound like me, and it drives my husband crazy. And
well, I like
say,
it.
You know, I'm going.
I think the war memorabilia is really cool. My dad has been giving me a lot of his stuff, and all of us kids. He's been giving us some of his Vietnam and World War II era stuff for my grandfather and him. And it's really interesting. Everything has a story.
Exactly. Everything does. I have a really cool World War II era helmet.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
It has an exit wound in it. No entrance
Ooh.
Wound. Yeah, it's pretty rough. But it's really cool. But I don't have a lot of World War II things. I need someone to look at it and say, this is, you know, American or whatever it is.
Right.
It'll be my luck. It'll be a German one.
Right.
Hopefully that one doesn't have bad juju.
Right, yeah.
Right.
It's not speaking German, is it?
I don't know. But that would be, yeah, I need someone to look at that.
The other thing I wanted to know is, what is it that scares you? Like, if there's one thing you had to pick out and say, I'm terrified of that, and maybe it's nothing, and in your line, you've seen about everything, it sounds like, but what is it that scares you?
Snakes.
snakes. Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Indiana Jones.
No, the guys just, they're going to groan because I'm going to say, snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Thanks a lot.
Sorry, I'm a huge Indiana Jones Harrison Ford hears me out there. I'd love to meet you before one of us passes
the,
away.
Yeah.
My son is named Harrison for a reason.
Yeah, I'm not scared of a lot of things. I'm not.
Snakes,
I love
though,
heights.
Huh?
I like adrenaline rushes, but if I see a snake, it's not going to go well. I'm going to probably have a heart attack. But, you know, the funny thing is, I love animals. I'm an animal
That's
lover.
Awesome.
It drives my husband crazy. I keep bringing animals home. But the other day, I saw a snake that was on the side of the road, and it looked like it was struggling. I'm terrified of snakes, but at the same time, I want to help this snake out of the road. So I go and find this huge stick, and I'm like, just go. But I was trying not to have a heart attack the whole time.
That's funny.
It was pretty scary.
That's nice of you. So in the paranormal, because there's so much, there's cryptids, your different types of ghosts, demons, you know, what is your least favorite to interact with or experience? Or do you have something like, you know, to me, I think seeing a demon or experiencing a demon would send me over the edge versus, you know, if I saw a ghost, it would freak me out, but not in a, I hope not in a bad way, but what, as far as paranormal entities, what's your least favorite that you want to run into or experience?
Yeah, it would be a demon. Let's see. I've had the one time, I've had, two interactions with what I am almost 100% a demon, and I don't like that. The other spirits, you know, they don't scare me at all. Even if it's an angry spirit, I've had one push me, and I'm just like, don't do that, you know, don't do it, and then they stop. But demons, you know, they're not going to listen. They are going to push you. So yeah, I don't like interacting with them. The two times I have, I was terrified, and that doesn't happen very often.
No, I don't. Well, you know, because being a believer in God and believer in Jesus, I mean, there's good and then there's evil, and demons are the opposite.
Right.
Of, I mean, that's just, it's too real. You know, not saying the other stuff isn't, but. To me.
Exactly.
Oh man, that's
they give off a really, I don't know if everybody's like me, but I get really nauseous if it's an evil malicious spirit or whatever. And the two times they're no good. It's just not worth it. And if you ever sense something's not right, anybody that's interested in ghost hunting or whatever, if you sense something like that, just leave, because they're not to be played with.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not looking for a good time.
No. Their good time is scaring you.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Worse.
I think more and more people nowadays, too. I've noticed more and more people coming up to me or talk in conversation saying, you know, it's almost like there is, you know, good versus evil out there. And it's,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And it is. It's,
there's,
you know,
a balance.
Yeah, right.
You can't have one and not the other,
agree.
Pretty much.
Right.
I mean, you can't have evil without good, and you can't have good without evil. I mean, that's the way I look
Light
at it.
Light and dark. I mean,
yes, exactly.
Yin and yang, it all works.
Yeah, no, that's true. What, go ahead, Sean.
The only thing I was going to ask is, Aaron, you, and just to clarify, you don't have a podcast or a YouTube channel or any other, I mean, I know you're on Instagram and Facebook. Is that, are you on anything else or have any other platforms?
I use the Facebook and Instagram usually, exclusively. Sometimes I'll post on TikTok just because everyone's like, join TikTok, but I don't understand TikTok. I guess I'm just too old or whatever. So I don't really understand it. I do have a YouTube channel. I neglect it completely. But I will be posting Waverly because I'm going to do a full episode. Might have a special guest with me. And he's a famous actor, and he told me that he is going to try to be there. So
please,
we will
tell
see
me,
if he's
is
there.
It Dan Aykroyd? You're not going to be able to tell me, are you?
If it was Dan Aykroyd, I would just be.
I know.
Yeah. He is so awesome.
Yeah, that would be the best.
We could gush over all those guys, but especially
I would be blown
Dan
away. No, it's not.
Oh, you don't have to tell us. I know it'll be a special guest.
He doesn't care. It's Nicholas Brendon. I don't know if you guys ever watched Buffy.
Oh yeah, I know Buffy. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He plays Xander.
Okay.
I talked to him the other day. He said he's going to try and be there.
That's neat.
But you know
that's
how
cool. That'd be
celebrities
cool.
are. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, how did you get in contact with him? Like, how did you guys?
I don't know, to be honest. Oh, I know how it was. My husband bought me, what was it he bought me? So, it was almost like a cameo or whatever for Christmas, but it was one of those where you can talk to them. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him, and he's like, hey, you're Heinz around America. I was like, wait, what? And then we just started talking about ghostly experiences, and his fiance is just an absolute doll, and I'd talk to her more, and I don't know, we just became friends.
Very cool.
That is cool. Yeah. It's a small world, isn't it?
It is. It's amazing how small it is.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and this, you know, you've got these social media platforms, and, you know, whether it's Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, I mean, I'm a lot older than you, but when I started getting on these sites and things, I've had interactions with so-called celebrities, you know, athletes, and I've tweeted. I don't use Twitter now, but I've tweeted before, and then I've gotten a reaction or somebody, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And then like Instagram, Reggie Miller, you know, he used to play for the Pacers. I love Reggie Miller. He and I corresponded back and forth, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Now, I'm assuming it's him. I don't know. It could be his assistant, but I'm like, I don't care. I at least got like a couple likes.
And then smack talk, right?
That's right. Yeah. No, I said something, you know, he posted a video of classic Pacers, like 90s, you know, and yeah, I guess the Knicks, you know, Sean's doing the choke. And I said, Reggie, I said, that was the heyday. I said, I loved it. You know, I miss those days. And he said, thanks. I do too. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I was like, Reggie Miller, you know,
but I'm going to do my Wendy's commercial right
now. Right. Right. And I was like, but it's neat. But that is so neat.
I mean, he was like not the well. I think he was the greatest Pacer, but you know, I never watched too. I have, you know, we get Chicago stations up here, so they don't let us see too much of the Pacers.
Well, I saw that you're a Dodgers fan.
I am a Dodgers fan. Yes, I am a huge Dodgers fan.
That's okay. I know you're still probably on cloud nine after winning the World Series last year.
hasn't worn off yet. In COVID, that was probably a little bit lackluster, you know, like not.
But yeah,
yeah.
But they still won. Still, I mean, everybody had to win. Yep. Or, you know, had to play the same.
Somebody's got to win.
That's right.
Now, see, I'm a Red Sox fan, Aaron. So you know, we beat you guys in 2018. So
I remember. She's like, I remember very well.
I'm a diehard Red Sox, but no, my son was his first 3 years of baseball was it was weird. I didn't pay anybody to do this, but his first. His first 2 years were he was actually his little league team were the Red Sox. I'm like, I can't believe it's our pick, right? Well, then his 13 was the Dodgers, and I bought me a Dodgers hat so I could, you know. So I have nothing against the Dodgers. I like them for a National League team, but I'm not a – I don't like – it's funny. I don't like the local teams. I don't like the Reds. I don't like the Cubs, you know, because I grew up watching them. It's all we had for years and years. I'm like, I think I just got tired of it, you know. But nothing wrong with the Dodgers. Nothing wrong with them.
My son is a huge Jackie Robinson they're fan. Playing, that was back when they were in Brooklyn.
I have no idea how right now, but I'm a Dodger fan. I'm a White Sox fan too.
Frank Thomas was my guy back then. Yep,
the big hurt.
I love Frank.
Yep,
yeah.
Me too.
He is just amazing, and he was always so nice. You know, because as a little girl, I got to meet Frank.
Oh, that's awesome! I would have loved that.
Time with you. Yeah. He's super sweet,
He was a gentle giant, right?
Yeah, that dude could crush a ball. Oh, my gosh.
I was saying my son is a Jackie Robinson fan, and that back when the Brooklyn Dodgers, of course, but that's near and dear to his heart. And when he loves baseball, and he loves to steal bases, and I'm out there, I tell people, I'm like, he's trying to be Jackie Robinson all the time out there. Like, not quite.
Not quite.
But, amazing.
Oh, it is. It's really, really beautiful. It's cool. It warms my heart.
It's cool. I love that. Yes.
Well, that's neat. No, I had to tease you a little bit. You know, I saw the pictures. I'm like, she's
been prepared for that.
Yeah. You know, I had to throw that a little bit. But, yeah, that's cool. The Dodgers won last year. So, hey, they, you know, it's been a long time since 88. You guys hadn't won it. So I was happy for you guys, really.
Thank you. Yes, I act like I did anything. I didn't do anything.
Well, yeah. You were on the bandwagon.
Hey, it takes the fans to help, too.
That's right.
That's what the way I look at it, anyway. It makes me feel good.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if Nate or Sean have any ending questions. I have one more, at least, I was going to ask you, Aaron. I love Westerns. I love that time period, you know, the Old West. And my favorite movie of all time is Tombstone. My son and I can recite the all the lines, you know. I don't know if you've seen the movie with Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer. Okay. I mean, it's just I've seen it 1,000 times. Have you had any investigations out west, like at Tombstone or any other of the western states?
You will love this. I will be in Tombstone in July.
Oh, now I'm really jealous. Oh, that is awesome, Aaron. That is awesome.
If you hear, see a shadow figure, it might be Todd.
And you know what? If you see Doc Holliday or Whiter, bring him to Indiana, and I'll take over.
That one I'm super excited about. I've never been to Arizona. I love that movie. I think that Val Kilmer should have won an Oscar, but that's another story. Right. But yes, I contacted the people at the Birdcage Theater. And they're like, yeah, we, come on out. I was like, I will be there. Don't you worry. So July, yes, I will be there.
That's very cool.
I've heard the Birdcage there. And, I mean, just the city of Tombstone, period, just doesn't let you down. I've heard a couple other people going out there. And not even investigations, just as a tourist. And they're like, oh, my gosh, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that happens. And they weren't even really looking for it.
Todd, I know I think you know this too, but that's Jenna's favorite of all time movies. Besides,
is
Dirty,
it really?
Dirty Dancing and Tombstone.
Dirty Dancing and Tombstone.
It's an odd combination, but she has both of those memorized. You could say what, at 20 minutes and
nice.
20 seconds, what's going on, she will tell you.
I'm impressed. I didn't know that. I really
she's
don't
good,
know.
Yeah.
That's
why I married
awesome.
Her.
Yeah, well,
not the Dirty Dancing, but the Tombstone. No, I was kidding.
Yeah, right. So July, that is awesome. Yeah, my wife and I, we went to Arizona for our honeymoon. And so we stayed in Phoenix, and then while we had stuff planned out, I think the next day, we swam and just kind of drove around Phoenix, checked out the city. And then the next day we went to a baseball game in Tempe, cause a family friend of hers bought us, spring training tickets. And then they announced our name. They said, we want to congratulate, Todd and Amy Hedges on their wedding. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. But he had no idea they were going to say that. And then I'm a big Arizona State Sun Devils baseball fan, so I was able to go to their stadium and videotape them practicing. And one of the players, I said, can I get up in the concourse and to walk around? He goes, sure. And so I was in seventh heaven. And then we'd go back to the hotel the next day, kind of hang out. And then we went to the Grand Canyon. We had like a 3 or 4 hour, span that we could just, and it was, you didn't have to go, we didn't went as a group, but you could go off by yourself and, just as long as you made it back for the train to get back to town. And then we went to, what's the Red Rock? I can't remember anyway, we did like a Red Rock, like a Jeep tour and, taking the tour in the mountains and, can't think about the name of the tour. Anyway, yeah, I think you'll love Arizona. We really enjoyed it. We want to take our kids now that they're older. I think they get a kick out of a lot of the just a different world.
There.
It's a different world.
Yeah. I'm excited to go check it out. I can't wait. I've been to Las Vegas, which you kind of get a little bit of it, but Vegas is Vegas. So I'm excited to actually experience Arizona. I wish I could have went earlier, but with all the travel restrictions, it was impossible.
Sure.
But now that everything's opened back up, hopefully.
Yeah, I would love to go to Tombstone. Oh, man.
Yeah.
And Tucson. I heard Tucson's nice too.
Yeah.
I heard that's got some good history and for the old West type vibe. Yeah.
Maybe we won't take things for granted as much this time, right? That's the hope, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that was the other thing, and I know we will wrap this up, but how, with the whole COVID thing and the restrictions, that probably put a big damper on your investigations, or did it? I mean,
it depended on the state. some states are very harsh with their rules, and others did not care. So, I did a fair amount of traveling. It's hard to keep me at home. I just can't. Mm-hmm. I have to be on the go. So I went to, I probably went to 10 states during the lockdown or whatever you
want
to call
it. That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, I can't say so. But, places like New York where I had a bunch planned or Massachusetts, I had to hold off. So we're going to be doing there's more than one, but, I will be doing that at the end of summer.
Fine. That is fun. Yeah. I'm jealous. I'm just jealous of all the places you've been to. And then when you told me you're going to Tombstone, I'm like, oh, that was the kicker right there. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd love to go there.
Yes. Someday. That one I was super excited about. I was originally supposed to go there in January or December. I don't remember. But I ended up with COVID, and I knew I wasn't going to travel like that. So I had to reschedule.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, I think just spinning in my head already, I think we're going to have to, if you want to, we'd have to bring you back on the show.
And we would love to listen to your
tombstone investigation and trip. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I would love to. I will have a lot of stories after this summer. It is action packed. Lizzie Borden, Gettysburg, World, everywhere. You name it, I'm going to be all over. They're all booked. I have no idea where I'm going, honestly.
Well, that's what
so many places.
We know you're busy, and we know you have quite the schedule too. And so that just makes it that much more special that you've made some time, carved some time out for us, and that means the world to us.
I mean it.
Thank you for having me. No problem.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
Yeah, we were excited all day. Like I said, I was nervous for the first time recording.
I've never seen Todd nervous.
Yeah,
in my
wife
life.
Said I. So we get to the soccer game, and she got there before I picked my mom. My mom doesn't drive, so I picked her up. We get there, she's like, "Hey, we're here. You know, we got our spots picked out." Like, okay. And they were still warming up, and I said, "I'm going to admit I'm a little bit nervous." She goes, "For what?" I go, "Well, the episode, the interview with Aaron." And she goes, "Like, why? Like, you don't." You know, why? And I go, well, I'm just, you know, so it was. I was really nervous.
Just wanted everything to go right.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, you know, we asked good questions and everything worked out technically, which, Nate's the man, like I said. I wasn't, you know, I knew he would know what to do. But it was just a different episode that we've done. And so it just meant, yeah, and you're taking your time out, like Sean said. And I just, you know, I didn't want to waste your time. So I've had a blast.
No, you guys did great. It's
awesome.
No, this was fun. Thanks.
Right back at
you. I had a good time.
Well, good. We try to keep it, when we're just talking about our creepy stories, we try to keep it conversational. You know, it's not scripted. And this is why it made this exciting. It's just we're talking to somebody that's an investigator, a writer, and, you know, in Indiana. I think that's extra.
Yeah, that's special. Cool.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, you did great. I had a blast talking to you, and I know the guys did, and man, all the places you've been to, it's just amazing.
There's several people, like I said, and people at work that are excited about the podcast and friends and stuff today, they were just so excited when they found out. They're like, are you really doing this? Like this, to them, I think it's one of those, like, how long is this going to last for these guys? But when they see stuff like this, they're like, wow, this is really exciting. This is interesting. So many people, I think, are excited to hear you, Aaron. And that to me is exciting too. And you're going to be part of, like, this community for us is, you know, it's great for us to come together, but we're also trying to help people with mental issues and having a community where people can come and not feel alone. I know you said when you were 13, you felt like, you know, stranger in a strange land kind of feeling. And we don't want people to feel that way. Like, and be able to share their stories and like, look, you're not crazy. This is stuff that goes on. And we're
stuff
trying to figure
happens.
It out too. Yeah. So we're really proud that you're part of this.
Thank you.
Honored.
And that is so great that you're doing that. And I agree. You know, a lot of people second guess themselves. When I first started this, I used a completely fake name because I was too afraid to, you know, tell my stories. I was afraid to put myself on camera or anything because I didn't want, you know, people to associate me with being crazy because, you know, people have their own feelings.
I completely understand.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Oh, I said I completely understand where you're coming from.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, but as time went on, I realized, you know what? I'm not getting anything. People are really supportive, and this is really great, and this is really great for all of us because we can really tell each other our stories and, you know, kind of validate it. So I think you made a great point, and I like that you're doing that.
Awesome. You know, and anytime you want to post something on our Facebook group page, you know, somewhere you're going or pictures, please do so. We'd love to, you know, I mean, we follow you and all that, but if you just want to post a random picture of something you know, an investigation that you found of something or hey, what's this? You know, I've seen other investigators do that and they kind of see what the response is from the followers of that. You know, like, hey, what do you guys think this is? Or, you know, so yeah, feel free to post anything you want on that.
You're already like a celebrity in our eyes.
Yeah, I know, seriously.
And to the people, you're like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't want to hijack your thing, but I would definitely do it. I always have a whole bunch of things that I don't even post.
No, yeah, no, don't hold back.
I will do that.
So, so yeah, so we're, I guess this will, you know, we're kind of ending it. Yeah, like Sean said, we could talk to you for hours, but we don't want to hold you up anymore. So tell our listeners again how they can find you and contact you and all that good stuff.
And plug your book, by all means.
Yeah, tell them.
Oh, yeah, okay. My son was making a face at me.
Mom?
I have a four-year-old, and he doesn't behave very well.
I understand.
So I am on Facebook and Instagram. It's Hauntings Around America. I also have a website, which is hauntingsaroundamerica.com. Let's see. I have YouTube, but I don't really use that, so don't think I'm, you know, abandoning the page or anything. I just don't use it. I also have my book on Amazon. It's on Kindle and paperback. I'm pretty easy to find. You can look up Aaron Agnes or Hauntings Around America, either one. They both go back to me. So
awesome. Yeah, I like to read, and I have a lot of books that I've bought and my wife's bought over the years, and it's hard to find time. This is a book that I'm going to buy it, and I got to check it out because Sean's been raving about it.
I agree, so, yes.
Yeah.
Thank
I think it's cool. Absolutely.
I'm glad you liked it. For me, I usually like all those tween vampire things or whatever, but I also like the history and, the true ghost stories. So I think that's really, it's different than a lot of the books out there, but, I don't know. I like it. It's kind of like a travel guide in a way.
It really is. It's cool. It's very cool.
Well, I always find it to me, it's more creepy and scary if it's factual. If it's a story that someone's just come up with and made up, yeah, it can be scary, but nothing beats the real thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Right. Yeah. And for us, ghost hunters, we love that. We love that feeling of being scared. So,
yeah, that's part of the business, right?
I mean,
just not nauseated, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, any other questions or
no?
We let Aaron have her night back.
Thank you for answering them all.
Yeah.
Too.
Thank you.
Yeah, you did awesome, and we learned so much. And if you're okay with it, we'd love to have you back on in a couple of months and hear your tombstone stories and whatever else you've had, between now and then. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I would absolutely love to. Just let me know when. I'm usually free. I don't do much. So.
Okay.
You don't do much other than
chasing ghosts.
Chasing ghosts. And, yeah.
It's no big deal.
and then raising kids and your wife.
Staying away from snakes, right?
And staying away from snakes. That's awesome. Well, Aaron, thank you again. We really appreciate it. And this was a fun episode. I had a blast. And
absolutely.
Yeah, this was great.
So thank you very much, Aaron.
Thank you. I did too. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, you guys.
Yeah. And good luck in all your future investigations. We'll be talking to you soon. And just be safe.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Have
Thank
a good
you.
Night.
Hey, you too. Too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, guys, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Aaron Agnes. I know I had a blast, and Sean and Nate, I know they did as well. She was fantastic. What did you guys think?
Oh, my gosh. So cool. And I didn't know what to expect. I wanted to get her views and kind of how she saw the world from all of her experiences, and mm-hmm. It was just really, really cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was awesome. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, she did a great job. And I'm still amazed that she goes on most of her investigations by herself.
Oh, right. She's a brave girl.
She is. Yeah, a lot tougher than I am.
Like I was telling you guys off air, it's like, I'm 6'1", 275 pounds. And I wouldn't do half the stuff she does.
She does, right? Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Now, a lot of cool places she's been and a lot of cool places she's going to be at. And we'll have her on again. I know we talked about it during the interview. I know she's going to Tombstone in July, Lucky Dog. So, yeah, we'll bring her on when her schedule allows it in a couple months and see how her other hauntings go.
Yeah, we would love to have her on again. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was fun. So thank you again, Aaron, for taking time out and chatting with us. And I know the listeners, once they listen to the episode, will greatly enjoy it. So now it is time for that middle-aged moment. So take it away, Sean.
Here I go. So this is the middle-aged moment. And as you guys know, and this is something we talked about during the interview too, that this is a community and we really focus on being here for everybody and for each other. This is something that we're creating together as a community for mental health and for people having, you know, everybody's got good times going in their life and rough times and the ups and the downs. And it's just, like I said, there's anything you could be doing in your life and you're hanging out with us. And so we are so appreciative of that. And so these middle-aged and middle-aged moments are really about bringing that to light. You know, we talk about some creepy things and we talk about some unnatural things and trying to figure out all the darker aspects of life. But we want to balance that out with some of the lighter stuff. I went with, since we talked to Aaron and with all the history that we talked about, I was actually going to talk about Henry David Thoreau or Ralph Waldo Emerson, some quotes from them. And I'll save that. Instead, I decided to go with some presidents. And I think this day and age, we're really looking for leadership. And there's a quote by my desk that is, if the people will lead, the leaders will follow. And I think we look up to our leaders, and I think we need to understand that we have to start becoming some of those leaders as well. But there are so many good quotes from a lot of our former presidents. So I wanted to go through some of these. There's so many that it would take me hours to cover, but I wanted to go through some of the really good ones. The first one is from John F. Kennedy. Conformity is the jailer of freedom and the enemy of growth. George Washington, the harder the conflict, the greater the triumph. Thomas Jefferson, honesty is the first chapter of the book of wisdom. Another one, lots of these have the same presidents. Thomas Jefferson, on matters of style, swim with the current. On matters of principle, stand like a rock.
I like that one.
Yeah. James Madison, the advancement and diffusion of knowledge is the only guardian of true liberty. This one I like. Also James Madison, knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. James Madison again, if tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. I thought that is still true today. Mm-hmm. James Monroe, a little flattery will support a man through great fatigue. John Quincy Adams, courage and perseverance have a magical talisman before which difficulties disappear and obstacles vanish into air. Excuse me. John Quincy Adams, try and fail, but don't fail to try. Also John Quincy Adams, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. Andrew Jackson, one man with courage makes a majority. Martin Van Buren, it's easier to do a job right than to explain why you didn't. William Henry Harrison, there is nothing more corrupting, nothing more destructive of the noblest and finest feelings of our nature than the exercise of unlimited power.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Millard Fillmore, it's not strange to mistake change for progress. Mm-hmm. Franklin Pierce, you don't know what you can miss before you try. Abraham Lincoln, I am a slow walker, but I never walk backwards.
Yeah, I live by that one.
Uh-huh, right. Abraham Lincoln, also, most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be.
True.
Also, Honest Abe, in the end, it's not the years in your life that count. It's the life in your years. Abraham Lincoln again, leave nothing for tomorrow, which can be done today. And whatever you are, be a good one. He's got several of these, honestly. And Abraham Lincoln, one more. Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power.
Yep. True again.
Couple more here. So James Garfield, if wrinkles must be written on our brow, let them be written on our heart. The spirit should never grow old.
I like that.
Benjamin Harrison, great lives never go out, they go on. Theodore Roosevelt, it is hard to fail, but it is worse never to have tried to succeed. Also Theodore Roosevelt, do what you can with what you have where you are. So, Dwight D. Eisenhower, if you want total security, go to prison. There you're fed, clothed, given medical care, and so on. The only thing you're lacking is freedom. All right. And then the last one, do not, this is John F. Kennedy. We started on him, so we're going to end on him. Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. And I thought that was a good one to end on these times. So these are, I just thought that was a good breadth of different past presidents. And these are people we look at for leadership. And like I said, I think we're lacking leadership on a lot of different levels, but we need it on our most basic level, which is our local level, our family level, our work level. And so I think church. If we, you know, church level, absolutely. In our spiritual schools. So I just, like I said, I wanted to highlight that. And I felt like talking to Aaron, you know, that, like I said, with the historical backgrounds and just thinking about our history as a country, I thought that was a good way to reflect on that.
I agree. I liked them.
Yeah.
And some of those I had heard, but most of them I hadn't. I mean, I knew the presidents, but not the sayings. And yeah. And I like, you know, those were from, 17 and 1800s. And it's still
relevant.
Extremely relevant. 2021. Today, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Good wisdom never dies.
You know what? I like that, Nate. You know what? Someday, 100 years from now, they're going to say
President Nate. Right?
Great wisdom never dies. Nate Laux.
King Nate.
And somebody's going to go, and here's what Nate
I'm sure someone said that before.
No.
No, Nate. That's original.
Yep, definitely.
So, awesome. Well, thanks, Sean, for sharing those.
No problem. My pleasure.
I'll let you finish up with the rest of the announcements.
Yeah, the announcements are, of course, we want to make sure that you guys can contact us. So our email address here at the podcast is MAACO Podcast. That's two A's, MAACO podcast at gmail.com. So anything that you need to communicate with us or trying to order merch or having story ideas or issues that you're having, whatever you need to use that for to communicate with us, please do. Like I said, merch, there is, just about any kind of merchandise that you can think about with our logo on it. You can message us at Facebook, Instagram, or email us your order. And we will get you that taken care of for you. We want to make sure, like I said, you can find us on Instagram or Facebook at Middle Aged and Creeped Out. We say this over and over and over again, but we want to just thank you for all the support. The numbers keep growing, the listeners keep growing. People are enjoying what we're putting out there, and that just humbles us to no end. And it keeps us going. It keeps the fire going in this podcast, and we're wanting to do this every week and keep putting good content out there and spending time with you guys. And we can't say thank you enough. You can listen to us on all the major platforms, of course, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and a countless number of others that we end up on. So, and one of the most important things we do here as a community is we want to make sure and point out and spotlight the mental health aspect. We're all, you know, it's something that affects all of us and people that we know and we love throughout our lives. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we always want to give out the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotlines. That one is 1-800-662-4357. Those last four are HELP. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. And the last four on that is TALK.
Awesome. Thanks, Sean. Guys, that was a fun episode.
It really was.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, it was. Different and...
It's a new experience for us, right?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. But yeah, I hope you listeners enjoyed it as much as we did. And sounds like Aaron had a fun time. And, you know, it was just very nice of her to come on and chat and... get to know her a little bit and learn about her paranormal investigating. And I think it's awesome that she wrote a book too.
And we look forward to seeing and or talking to her again and interacting with her. We welcomed her to be part of our community as well. So Absolutely. We look forward to that as well.
Yeah.
So thank you, Aaron.
Well, anything else, guys, before I sign off here?
I don't think so.
Nope. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap, Nate. Yay.
That makes it official. All right. Well, we want to thank you guys for listening to episode 13. And until next time, creepies, Nate is our sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out. Keep it creepy.